This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Atlanta, what's going on? Mike and I are chilling at the lake today, and we want to invite you up as well as we're hanging out at Lake Lanier Islands, Margaritaville. Mike, we're at the Landshark Bar. What a beautiful day out here, man.
Yes, a perfect way to start the day with a big hearty,
hey, man,
day-day. And Slim did a nice job, by the way, because the lake is packed. And this is like the last weekend for folks to get it in. For a lot of folks, Carl, before kids going back to high school around Georgia. And a great job by our engineering crew to get this stuff on air and get the show on the road.
Yeah, man, I got here and I was walking up and a guy literally, that you know, they got jet skis for rental and all this stuff up here. And I said, how you guys doing? They were like, it's a beautiful day, man, great day. And I was like, okay. They had all their jet skis out there, but nobody was on them. Right. But yeah, man, it is a pretty day out here. We've been telling you guys the reason we're out here. If you're going, Duke, somebody, I don't understand. Last Friday, guys, without football, from this point on until February, we're going to have football on Fridays, whether it's Friday Night Lights, whether it's college football, whether it's the NFL, and we know football is back. We've been talking about it and celebrating it going back to Falcons camp all week long. But, Mike, as we left the show last night, and thanks to everybody who came out to Hooters, we will be back up there next week, Monday, Tuesday, Hooters, Mall of Georgia. So come through. But everybody who came through yesterday, thank you, guys. We leave the show yesterday, and I think the biggest thing was we're sitting there 5 minutes to go until the trade deadline. And then, obviously, we get home and we realize the Braves, there were no last-minute deals. Nobody got moved. And then Alex Anthopoulos spoke about it. And the idea that, you know, most of us felt like, okay, if there was anybody that might be traded, it was going to be Marcell Ozuna. Alex Anthopoulos says they didn't even really shop him. He never really went to him to talk about a potential trade. And so now, and I think Braves fans, I don't know how you feel, Braves country, about this. Some people are upset that we didn't try to add to this team, Mike, moving into next season. Some people are not upset and don't care. How are you feeling about this?
I mean, look, John Schuerholz said it famously like about 30 years ago. It takes two to tango. You know, if you're going to make a deal, you got to have another team on board. And you're not going to make a deal just for make a deal's sake. I mean, they want to get something in return. But I do think when a guy is leaving and you're not going to be able to get him probably re-signed next year, I don't know what their intentions are with Ozuna. We're of the opinion he's going to walk.
I agree.
And he's going to make more money elsewhere. Well, you got to get something for him if it's an arm, okay? Dude, you got to get something. But, again, Alex, and I'm not saying he's fibbing, but he said he can't force a trade and said that a lot of folks understand that people think we should do so-and-so, get this guy back or that guy back. He goes, unfortunately, out of respect to all parties, he can't divulge. Now, that's always a bit of an out for all general managers in all sports. We were this close. I can't tell you what Team A or B was going to do. You'd be mad at me if I did. No, not really. The season's lost. Ozuna's a lame duck. Should have made a trade. But Alex says there was nobody interested. Padres were the team that was linked, Carl, and they basically traded everybody else for all the other moves they made.
Yeah, here's the deal. Knowing Alex as we do, guys, if he's not getting something in return of value and certainly a player that he can control or the team has control over for the next 3 to 4 years, he's not going to do it. Guys, the Padres have a really good farm system. And they didn't come out of any of their top 10 guys, prospects-wise, in any of the deals they made. So my guess is, even if Ozuna was on the table, Double A was like, okay, here are the prospects that I potentially want. And the Padres may have said no. Either way, he says they were not interested in dumping players and trying to shed money on a contract. And I said this to you guys yesterday. We're not in the business now of shedding contracts just to save money. Mike keeps talking about spending more money to make this team better. We're already top 10 in payroll. There's no reason to think that, oh, if we drop a few players, it's going to help us next season. The investment next season has to be smart investment with starting pitching. And then, Mike, you've got to go help this everyday lineup. It's got to look a little bit different next season. Right. I don't know what that's going to look like, but that also is going to entail some spending. We can't get B and C players and expect to be back in the World Series next year.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. I mean, the reality that this run, as you said yesterday, you know, you asked Grant. Grant wouldn't take the bait that this run is over. But unless you go spend some money next year, this run is over. Because the guys that you banked on to be good have been terrible. And it wasn't overnight. Last year was kind of a harbinger of what this year was going to be.
A sample.
You saw a bunch of guys struggle. Ozzie missed last season, half of it. Then he couldn't hit. You know, we've talked about Money Harris. He's unfortunately very streaky at best. He's only been able to hit in basically half a season. And these are the guys you're committed to. Now, Ozzie is cheap. You know, Ozzie's, you know, easy to bring him back next year and hope you can fix him. And they probably will. Shortstop, I mean, you got a nice guy that can, you know, that can play the position, but you're not getting any offensive surge from that position.
That's got to be addressed.
You know. And then, you know, Jurickson Profar, I mean, a full season of him, okay, maybe that'll be just the thing. But this team has really got some fundamental flaws. Not to mention, the big issue is you don't even have an idea what your pitching rotation looks like next year.
No.
I mean, you know what it would be on paper.
Right.
But you've got guys that haven't been starters and they break down, or guys that have never been starters for this many games and they break down. So why don't you go invest in some proven pieces to complement what you have?
I love it, and I've gotten this already from Braves fans. Dukes, the pitching rotation will be fine next year. And I'm like,
you know what? That's a fantasy.
Well, and I say to them, Mike, I say, why? And they immediately go, well, Sale will be back. Okay. Strider's still available. He's healthy. He's going to pitch on Saturday.
That's two guys.
Correct. The rest of this lineup, guys, I'm not sure about. You act as if we had five starters that you wholeheartedly trusted. The two guys going into this season that we trusted were Sale and Strider. Everybody else was vying for a job, and they had to prove it and show it. And so I felt like, as I was answering this one guy, I said, look, I hear you. To Mike's point, on paper it looks like, okay, the rotation is going to be okay. I cannot go into spring training with my fingers crossed, hoping that all these guys are going to be back healthy. And for example, pitching, even Schwellenbach, pitching as well as he was, and that you're going to be able to count on him. I think those guys are fighting for jobs, but you got to bring in some top-notch guys. 404-726-0929 it is. Our text line, find us on social media, guys, as we broadcast live from Lake Lanier Islands. Margaritaville, Land Shark Bar is where we're broadcasting from. We're right outside, man, on the patio, so come through if you're up here. We've been telling you for the last few weeks we're going to be up here.
I need one.
It's great.
I need a land shark.
Oh,
like right now.
Well,
like stat.
Where's the?
Yeah, I mean, she just came. There's a lovely family over here. We're subjecting them to Duksonville.
Oh.
Where are you guys from?
Hey, man.
Where are y'all from?
Oh,
Richmond,
wow.
Virginia. All
That's
right,
awesome.
Man.
Well, welcome.
Go.
Welcome.
How y'all doing?
Hope you guys are having a good time.
Right.
You're like, we're getting this extra, man. We didn't know we were paying for
a
radio show.
And for the folks that are listening at home, this is a beautiful family. This is one of those families. It looks like when you buy a picture frame, them would come with it. You know, it's a very nice family.
Well, that might be the family, Mike. That's probably why they're here.
Yeah.
They might be here because of that.
Right.
But we're hanging out, man. We're going to be here until 6. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Atlanta's number one station, of course, and it's number one sports show, guys. The Braves conversation is front and center. And again, if you have a thought or two, we'd love to hear it. The thing that I did not buy into, and look, I'm big into what you don't say. And when you tell me we're going to be conservative and careful, what you're telling me is you're not going to play him like you normally would.
Right.
So for everybody that got excited yesterday, see, Dukes, they are going to play Ronald Acuna. No, he's using language to make you feel better about the fact that they are not going to risk their best player. I said shut him down. Alex is not going to come on the air and say, we're shutting him down.
Hey, guys, if you want to come see Ronald Acuna at the ballpark, you can't.
Correct.
And so he may sign some autographs. He'll come down the first baseline, say hi to the kids. That's it. Look, at the end of the day, this is a business, and they don't want to basically tell your customers you're not going to get the full, you know, you're paying full price. And by the way, prices are going up next year for some season ticket holders, and you're not going to get the full show. So that's where it stands. The reality is they're going to manage it, probably DH him some. But you got to.
He's not going to play every game.
Guys, if you think this
every series.
And if you think this year was bad, Carl, I mean, I know the knock, of course, is you did win a World Series in 21 without Ronald Acuña, but when nobody else is hitting, okay, and then Ronald Acuña is knocked out and becomes Mike Trout moving forward, missing 50, 60 games every year, come on, you're dead in the water.
Yeah, and so I love the statement, but calm down, as if – he is going to be out there. Just, again, there's just no reason. And if anybody knows that, it's Braves management. Hey, man, coming up, we are going to talk some Falcons as well. Jesse Bates, will hear from him as he joined the morning shift yesterday. And for those who missed that interview, very good stuff. Jesse's also, he's just so quality, man. Every time we get a chance to talk to him, I'm always impressed. I try to bust his chops, and he never gives in because he's just so focused. But he knows what this season means, not only for himself, but for this team. And, Mike, he's one of the leaders. I mean, we said it yesterday, and we didn't even get into it because we got into this Brave stuff. Jesse Bates, guys, for you Madden players out there, you gamers like me,
right.
Highest-rated safety on Madden. That means he's the best safety in the league, right? That's the guys that do this. And every year, players get upset about their Madden ratings. I can't believe I'm not rated higher. Well, he's not the only Falcon that's on the game, obviously, but the highest-rated safety is saying a lot about what the NFL community, Mike, and his peers think about him.
I know that a lot of guys, you know, think, well, what does this matter? It's just a video game. The players take this stuff really seriously. You know, for years we used to joke around. Guys, you know, players don't like to talk about fantasy football because they feel like they're just a piece of meat. But, man, they do get hung up on the Madden ratings. That's for darn sure. And Jesse Bates, as you said, 95 makes him the best safety. Bijan Robinson, now some would say he's a little low at 92 when it comes to Madden rating, considering he's one of the top three or four running backs in the league.
I think that's disrespectful. He should have been a 95. Right.
Drake London was a top five wide receiver. He comes in at 91. A.J. Terrell's in 89. Jake Matthews, 87. But again, if you play Madden, again, I haven't had a, you know, Carl makes fun of me. I haven't had a PlayStation since Mike Vick was on the cover. That was a PlayStation 2. But the Madden game
that's
is 20 out.
20 years, bro.
You know, Kyle Pitts comes in at 81. Sounds about right. We'll see. I mean, certainly we've got high hopes for some of these other players out there. And maybe next year he'll be a 90.
Yeah.
And that would mean he's kicking butt.
And by the way, I don't know about you guys because it's just a time thing for me. It's like a release. But I will play with the Falcons this season as I do every year. And just like real life, I've been let down in the Madden game for some reason or other. But I will choose them and play a season with them. But my seasons go a lot longer than most people because you can go through a season if you're sitting there playing. But I'll play 1 week, you know, one game, and it may be a week or two before I play another game. But I do want to see the real comparisons because sometimes I get mad at the game, Mike. Like Bijan, I'm like, no, Bijan could have made that cut. He should be in the end zone. And, like, they don't allow it on the game. Like, you can't do some of the things we see in real life. But it's as realistic as they can possibly make it. But I'm just telling you guys, the ratings do matter, and the fact that Jesse, and you'll hear him coming up here at around 240, talking about the importance of guys on this team and what he feels like this defense can be, he's going to be front and center in all of this. And Mike and I joked with him last time we visited with him as we're live at the Landshark Bar here at Margaritaville, guys. We said every time last year we're sitting in Mercedes-Benz, we're like, man, guys around me, we need a turnover. Boom. Jesse Bates gets a turnover.
Right.
Man, we sure do need to cause a fumble. Jesse Bates punches it out, causes a fumble. Every time it felt like we needed a play to happen defensively, he was involved in it.
You know, the Tampa game was one of those ones we talked about with Jesse. I'm like, were you tickling him? Were you sticking your finger somewhere? I mean, that's one where, I mean, literally, even on the sideline, you know, the Bucs players, nobody had any idea what happened. He takes a guy to the ground, and literally in that split second before the ball, obviously, you know, we know the ground can't cause a fumble.
Right.
But Jesse Bates can cause that fumble, and he did. And you're right, man. He single-handedly, I can think of six games off the top of my head the last 2 years that this guy's won, or games we wouldn't be in without him. Darnell Mooney, by the way. I know you love Darnell. What's up, Darnell?
What's up, Darnell?
He might be a little bit low on this Madden ranking. You see that? He comes in at 81, same as Pitts.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, like,
that don't show my breakaway speed.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not right. It's not fair.
I mean, this guy had five touchdowns. He was 8 yards shy of a 1,000-yard season. I don't know, man. It seems a bit low.
It's a little low. A little low. Hey, man, we are live up here at Lake Lanier Islands. We're coming back. We got a lot to get into. Braves play this afternoon. You're going, why? Well, they got to get to where they're going, Mike.
Yeah, it's kind of a getaway day, even though the series wraps up in Bristol and Motor Speedway, Thunder Valley. It's going to be pretty amazing. Under the lights, and Strider's going to go. Last night was a pretty exciting game, albeit, you know, where we are in the Braves, you know, lot,
what happened?
Lot of life.
I missed it all. What
they
happened?
Won in extra innings, Carl. And all the guys that
really?
Guys that you never would have imagined were on this team. You saw them last night when the season began.
Huh.
You really do need a scorecard to check out a program to check out who these players are. But that's the way the Braves are rolling through the dog days of August. Cincinnati and the Braves in action right now, bottom of the seventh. But tomorrow, a lot of Braves fans are heading up to Tennessee. Some are already up there to watch that game at the Motor Speedway.
Look, I think it's going to be an amazing experience. We're clowning around because what this could be, what it could have been,
right,
if these guys were hitting and if we were healthy, it looks a lot different. But I think for those of you who are going to just to get a chance to experience one of these opportunities, MLB, they do a great job of this. The Field of Dreams game, Mike, was awesome. This is going to be very similar. So Braves fans, Braves country, have fun up there. All right, we're coming back. When we do, the thing I continued to hear last night in a preseason game, it's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A bunch of stuff going on. I mean, you got your flip-flops ready. Margaritaville, come on up. They are having an incredible special weekend celebrating music inspired by Jimmy Buffett, the Coral Reefer Band.
Outstanding.
With live music from A1A is going to be performing, guys. So if you are coming up or you want to hang out, that's Saturday, tomorrow, August 2nd, Mike. 7:30 to 9:30. Doors open at 6.
So basically, yeah, you're going to get a great Jimmy Buffett kind of cover band that's going to be doing a great job with it. It's going to be a blast, man. The Fins Up Water Park, we saw all the kids doing their thing. The Apocalypso Slide. Again, that's that gigantic four-slide tower we saw.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
You and I never went down that thing, did we, last summer?
No, not last summer. I have gone down it, but I did not. I do not do it last summer.
But again, Water Park, guys, has got all this new stuff. If you haven't been up here to Lake Lanier Islands, it's a blast. So again, the Fins Up Falls, all the shenanigans, just a blast. We love it being up here.
All right, before I talk about what I continue to hear last night, which was baloney, I want to mention something we were talking about because Mike was saying I had mentioned that the Padres didn't give up any of their top prospects. Here's the thing. What were you going to get from Marcell Ozuna? Because Big O just said they gave up the number three prospect in their organization, or number three overall, to get more pitching. And, Mike, when we talk about what the return on the investment is with Marcell Ozuna, he was not going to command the number three prospect in the organization or number three prospect overall. So I want to just correct that and say the Padres did do that, but they did it for the right reason.
Yeah. The Padres and their general manager, he's no risk it, no biscuit, bringing in free agents, moving pieces all the time. It's kind of like, you know, blank those picks, as it were, that the Rams did in football. They're all in. But this is a guy that, you know, made a big deal with the A's, and a lot of folks, a lot of baseball nerds in analytics say it was a very one-sided deal and think the Padres maybe gave too much in their run up to the trade deadline yesterday afternoon.
All right. I don't know about you guys. I was watching the preseason game last night. And by the way, damn you, Mike Bell. I should have bet the over.
I told you.
I should have bet the over.
They nearly hit the over at halftime, man. It was,
what am I doing? This is terrible. I'm sitting here. I could be making money. Final score, 34-7. But we don't care about the final score.
33.5, by the way, was the over-under.
Yeah, I should have bet it. Why is everybody jockeying Trey Lance now? It's a preseason game.
Again. He is playing against guys who in a month's time will be back working for UPS. Now, if there's anything wrong with that, or doing a job at Home Depot. These are guys who will be in the UFL. These are third-string guys. These are fourth-string guys. Nobody's playing starters, although Dan Campbell did say very sloppy, very upset with his crew, and said, you know, they're gonna have to tighten that up, because even, like, if you're trying to make a team, you played like garbage.
You did.
But, anyone who's going to now say, wow, Trey Lance, asserted yourself in the Hall of Fame game?
It's a joke.
Come on.
It's a joke. Guys, the Cowboys didn't even play him. Dak Prescott got hurt against us. I was at the game, right? And you're going, here's his opportunity. Here comes Trey Lance. They literally looked past Trey Lance and brought the other quarterback in.
Right.
That was his opportunity to show at the end of the season last year that he could play. And now it's like he's been resurrected. If I hear Collinsworth, I'm already mad at Collinsworth, by the way. He hadn't even called a Falcons game.
I say this time?
He was literally, what touch on that throw by Lance? I'm like, it's a five-yard throw. Come on, Collinsworth. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I just this love for Trey Lance last night drove me nuts.
No, I'm with you on that one. I was like, well, are you really, really going to – we're going to play this game? Like, this guy is now – you're telling me you feel this guy is really going to be the next big thing? Look, it's good to see him make some connections, you know, throw the ball down the field. But again, do it when it counts. Do it when it matters.
Mike, he's not going to get that opportunity.
He's a guy wearing a baseball hat the rest
Correct.
Of his life.
Correct.
The die has been cast.
Because Justin Herbert is the starter. He didn't even suit up. Why would he?
Right.
But Lance had a good game. 13-20, 120 yards, two touchdowns, and people were going nuts. He did get sacked, but it was just like one of those games where you go, this is what we've been waiting for. And I'm like, it's a preseason game. It's the Hall of Fame game. Nobody plays.
They're going to, you know, forget. You know what? Like that guy who's that radio host who makes fun of in Cleveland. I'm beginning to wonder if Justin Herbert's looking over his shoulder. I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
Yeah.
Well, now I will say this. If he continues to do some things in preseason, you may be able to trade him for
Correct.
A six-rounder.
Correct.
And that's good for the Chargers, and that's why you showcase him. That's a conversation we can have. To say that this guy's now primed and ready to be a starter in the NFL, that's nonsense.
That's ridiculous. Hey, Big O back at the studio, keeping us on air, running all the things. By the way, big shout-out to Slim here, our on-site engineer, making it happen. We are live at Lake Lanier Islands, guys. Margaritaville Land Shark Bars, where we're broadcasting from. Day-Day's up here with us as well, our executive producer. Big O, man, let's get to the Daily Download. Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well, Mike. You said it was a crazy game last night. Braves defeat the Reds 12-11. It goes extra innings, but should it have even gotten extra innings? What a crazy inning the eighth was, right? It was the eighth inning where all right. those runs were scored?
This is a team that, you know, again, they've shown the ability to blow leads. They've shown the ability to battle back. But, I mean, look, all you're getting now is a little bit of entertainment. The soundtrack for your summer is winding down because football season is here. It's different when you're in the pennant race.
Yes.
That's one that's a nail biter and everybody's talking about around the water cooler. But that's not the case.
Boys of Summer stops playing?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. It's now you're just,
I like that song.
You're grinding out the string.
Yes.
Don't look back, Carl. You can never look back.
You can never look back. I love that song, by the way. Boys of Summer.
It's one of the great riffs of all time. Saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Love that, man. They say Don Henley is a complete SOB, though.
Really?
Yes.
I like Don Henley's music.
I do, too, but they say he's just a miserable human being.
It's terrible. He's not the only entertainer.
On that Eagles documentary, David Geffen goes, Don Henley is a malcontent. It's pretty well known. But anyway, but great music. You're right. Great team.
It really is. Final score last night, 12-11. Look, final scores don't matter. We want guys to play better. We're watching progress, right? I want to see progress. That's my thing heading into the end of the season. We are losing today. They're playing a getaway day, as Mike said, because Saturday is the big game.
The Speedway Classic. You seen the uniforms?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I heard Abe, by the way, I kept texting Randy today when I was driving around.
What do you do now?
Nothing. I was like, we just punch
He's
Abe.
He's an aficionado.
No, just, I'm like, hey, Randy, just punch Abe right now. Punch him. Randy's talking about like a 73 Cutlass.
I'm not
Abe's
an aficionado,
like, I don't like
but like for radio yeah. people, I'm aficionado.
Abe's like, oh, that's too big a car. I'm like, just kill him. Kill him now.
He's not a car aficionado.
He's not a car aficionado.
You don't know what you're talking
cars.
About.
Nothing. Randy had a great riff, and Abe's like stepping all over and talking about, like, just stop. Stop. That was one. And then he's like, I don't know about those flames on the hats. I don't really like it. It looks kind of childish. It looks like a Hot Wheels, like a Jeff Gordon car. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I'd buy that hat.
I told you that when you talked about this in Guy Talk a couple of weeks ago. I said, what's the design on the hat? We discussed it.
Look, it's got a flames on the brim. It looks pretty nice. Of course, they have to screw it up with a giant patch on the side.
Well, they have to create something that for 80,000 people that are going to this game,
right.
You've got some kind of memorabilia, some merch to take with you that you can say, oh, that's from the game that we went to at Bristol. They can sell a Braves hat any day of the week, so they had to do something a little different. Come on, Abe. I'm with Mike on this. Meanwhile, let's hear from Alex Anthopoulos, guys, because he did speak last night about no trades being made. The question was why.
Yeah, no, I know there was a ton of speculation on obviously I read it. I saw all of it for months about different names and so on, and I'm never going to comment on our players and things like that as all that was going on there. But our goal in this deadline was to focus on guys that could help us in 26 and beyond, or had the chance to, whether that's through club options, like guys like Kinley and so on. And, you know, it didn't materialize, but.
Yeah. So he's basically saying, look, all the rumors and stuff that we were discussing from the alleged insiders was not true. And this is why, you know, these things play out. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. It just felt like with us being out of it for the first time in a long time, we were going to be sellers. But Mike, he came on this show and told us he's not a seller, has never been a seller. Yeah, he wanted to be a buyer, and I don't think he was able to buy because the return wasn't good enough.
Do you feel that even a process, one thing, because one man's trash, another man's treasure.
Sure.
Take somebody who's maybe capped out at AA from another team, take a shot. I'd rather do that than have another few months of Raisel Iglesias. Get him out of here.
Well, he got his 13th save last night, Mike.
Yippee-ki-yay.
13.
Yeah. How many blown saves?
I don't want to talk about
it. Anyway, so in the case of this roster, Ozuna has been, again, a workhorse the last 2 years, banged up a lot this year. I mean, the hip thing just was really hurting him the last 2 months. I thought with a couple of home runs against Kansas City, maybe the interest would peak a little bit. Didn't. But still, he's walking away. It's the same mindset the Hawks had years ago when Al Horford left and you got nothing for him. So I'd be happy just to try anything, albeit a project. With some of the bums and stiffs that we brought in through waivers and trades for nothing the last 3 years, what's one more? And just get this guy off the roster. But they didn't do it.
What went wrong, according to Alex Anthopoulos, with the season? This is what he said last night after the trade deadline came and went.
Look, you look at, obviously, when you're having seasons like this, you look at everything, of course. You know, when we were, obviously, we scuffled for a long time, and it felt like the Mets series was going to be hopefully a turning point. Our run differential was still, I think we were right there with the Padres and close to some of the other teams. But we had a rotation that was competitive. I mean, a year ago, we led MLB in ERA, right? Everyone talked about the Mariners. We were percentage points ahead of them. So of the 30 clubs, we had the best ERA of anybody in baseball a year ago, with tons of injuries on the position player side, right? But we had tremendous health in the rotation, and you know, we were able to win more games than we did the year we won the World Series. So we did feel like with Sale, Schwellenbach, the way Holmes was throwing the ball, Strider we thought was really starting to get going. He started out slowly. You know, those four felt like, okay, those four are pretty solid. You can, if you could stabilize a little bit and get going, you know, you hopefully, you're trying to do stuff earlier. I know I went on the radio and I said, trying to add now. You can add, a five-hole starter and solidify that rotation even more. And then you can get to the deadline and solidify even more. That was the thought and that was the hope. Obviously, we have to play well, but.
Yeah, no, he went on to say they're not interested in dumping players and trying to shed some money on a contract. He's trying to sort of rationalize where at. You've committed to players that aren't hitting. That's it. It's not that complicated. You know, I mean, we talked earlier in the year. I was all for moving, Sean Murphy. And then Drake Baldwin kind of cooled off a little bit. You're going to see Drake Baldwin be the DH when he's not catching next year. And maybe that gives you a little more spark. And that's what you do now, Carl. You watch the young guys. They're not going to bring young arms up. So they don't want to mess with their heads and their confidence. It's bad enough what they did to Didier Fuentes. You know, he was like, let's be honest, man.
They rolled the dice.
He was cannon fodder this year, man, on the mound.
Yeah.
But now we'll see where the rest of this string plays out. We'd love to see Money Harris continue to rake and hopefully he has more confidence because he's got to be able to do it for the entire season. Everyone knows that, you know. Ozzie Albies, can Ozzie finish on a high note too? But that's it. That's all you're looking for.
Progress, no doubt. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live up here. Fins Up Water Park, if you've never been. Margaritaville, Lanier Islands. They opened their new highly anticipated Fins Up Falls water slide. The complex, it's Georgia's first and largest water slide coaster, Apocalypse. But you guys got to come check this out. And why can I mention?
Apocalypso.
There is an event tomorrow, 7:30 to 9:30. Doors open at 6. Music inspired by Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band with live music from A1A. So there's a lot of stuff going on up here. All right, we're coming back. Jesse Bates, stop by the morning shift and talk with the guys. Talked about a lot of things, including his teammate, Xavier Watts. You'll hear that and much more coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell live, hanging out. Margaritaville, Landshark Bar, and I got to tell you, the drinks here are cold, Mike Bell.
Ice cold. I told Carl down in Key West, we got into drinking Landshark. You know, when in Rome, right? Jimmy Buffett's brew and Budweiser makes it. They make it in the exotic tropical location known as St. Louis, Missouri. But I've been drinking this like a fiend last couple of weeks because it's smooth. I don't need to put the lime in it. I think it tastes great just as is. But I've been drinking these things in wholesale fashion. They're going to lose money on me today.
All right, our buddy Adam Schefter, who was on the show about a week ago, just said this about 15 minutes ago. Micah Parsons has posted on social media that he wants to be traded from the Dallas Cowboys. 20 minutes ago, Micah Parsons posted on social media he wants to be traded from the Dallas Cowboys.
The word yesterday at a big D was Jerry had a conversation with Micah, and I think Jerry was under the impression, oh, well, we got a deal. No, talk to my agent. Mm-hmm. We have a principle. We have a deal in principle. But, you know, there's a way this works, and you talk to my agent. And now, I'm surprised it took this long because Jerry Jones is a buffoon. The way he treats the players, there's a way of doing business. Everybody knows how this thing plays out. And I understand, if you've got some hard decisions to make, when you've got three or more like we have potentially with the Falcons, high-paid, really good players, you got to pay them. Micah Parsons, one of the top three defenders in the league. End of story. Why do you take this to the 11th hour? Why wasn't this deal already in place? So now he's ticked off. He wants out. Now, again, this is a negotiating tactic. He would not crawl be the first Dallas Cowboy going all the way back to Dez Bryant, who said trade.
Here's the fundamental problem. This is coming firsthand from people inside that organization. They have yet to talk to his agent, face-to-face or on the phone. They spoke in March. David Mulligata is the best agent out there right now, guys. He's done all these big deals, and I feel like, Mike, they feel like they might get fleeced. And they don't want to even deal with that, and they want Parsons to agree to a deal. They've not spoken with him. Either way, that is news. Now, Falcon fans, let's put this to bed now. I know what you're thinking. We add Micah Parsons, we're going to the Super Bowl. You willing to give up three first-rounders because that's what it's going to take?
Yes.
Three first-round picks?
Yes. Yes.
Me too.
All of it.
Me too.
Take it all.
I don't care at this point, Mike. I'm so hungry for the playoffs, right. I could care less.
But, you know, again, we finally got some great picks in the draft. Some
we
Falcon
did.
Fans are saying, no, not the time. This is different. This is different. This is a proven piece. This is a guy, I mean, when we say that, you know, what we want for Jalen Walker is a slightly smaller version of Micah Parsons. You know, and we have high hopes. Like, we're a little down on Jalen. We haven't seen him yet because of the injury. But Micah Parsons, guys, that's a game changer. That, with what we've got in talent right now, giddy up. Imagine that, Leonard Floyd with Pierce, and again, I don't know what the ask would be, as you said, other than maybe draft picks, they want personnel. But, man, that'd be something for anybody.
All right, more on this coming up. We will talk more about it, but that news is a developing story.
How about him going to the 49ers?
That would be killer as well. I mean, like, honestly. Remember, they moved on from Bosa,
right?
Right. And now you look at that and what they've drafted, you've restocked. All of a sudden, and remember, Robert Saleh would love to have Micah Parsons. He's the DC there. Hey, man, let's hear from our safety, Jesse Bates, who stopped by the morning shift. The first thing the guys asked him was simply the improvement that he's seen from the first practice up until now.
Yeah, I mean, we got a hell of a leader in Coach Brick. He sets the tone every meeting, every practice. When you got a guy like that that's played linebacker in this league, it's kind of easy to get behind them and get the ball rolling. So, very excited for what we're starting.
Jesse, when you're out there, going through the defense, you have a job to do, and you're also balancing your technique. But how hard is it to balance your technique? And then when you see the instinct of making a play, we've seen you instinctually just go make plays here the first 2 years. How hard is that to kind of balance that out?
Yeah, you just got to understand the playbook. I think there's times where you can be aggressive, and then there's times where, all right, you got to protect some guys. And just having that full understanding of not just of what you're doing, but what the whole defense is, it creates those opportunities where you can go jump, some plays and understand what we're trying to show. And like I said, it's just opportunities that you got to understand when it's time to be aggressive and when it's time to be that protector as a safety.
Listen, that's spoken like a true safety, Jesse Bates, talking about sometimes you got to protect people. You know what I mean? Sometimes the guys in front of you might need a little help over the top. Falcon safety Jesse Bates hanging out with us here on the morning shift live here in Flowery Branch. Well, let's talk about that as well, because you're in year three here with the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, you spent the last few years, as long as you can probably remember, of having different defense coordinators every year playing different schemes. How do you feel like so far that you really fit in with what Jeff Ulbrich wants to get accomplished defensively? We've talked about attacking style defensive fronts. In our conversation with Caden on Tuesday, he was like, hey, man, it's just about kind of understanding the broader picture. You have even a bigger picture. I mean, you're the kind of the center fielder back there and understand what kind of Brick's asking of everybody.
Yeah. The first thing you talk about is what are we showing? What are we trying to disguise and show the quarterback? And then what are we actually playing? And, sometimes when you're showing a disguise, you know, it triggers the offense to get into a check. So understanding what those checks are and what we're getting when we're showing certain defenses, I think that's very important when you're talking about playing a high-level type of defense.
I love that. I saw the double A gap mugs today, forced Penix to get out of it. And, of course, then Caden's bailing. I'm like, oh, man, they got you. They got you.
Jesse, you were mic'd up the other day. You have a moment with Kobe Bryant that's kind of out there. He's obviously a young player, undrafted, trying to make the team. Is it to the point where players just gravitate towards you, knowing for what you are as a leader and a guy that is always doing film study and that kind of stuff? Or do you still seek younger players out to be that mentor type?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Every practice, I tend to just sit there and kind of process what just happened. Those young guys, they sit out there with me. They're like, huh, hold on, what's Jesse doing just sitting out here? And then we have conversations. You know, what did you get today? You know, what did you not do right today? Those type of questions, those type of, you know, getting those type of answers help you out as a player in the long run. And like I said, I've been that young guy before. And I was always around, Vontaze Burfict and those type of guys. that was very rough, and just try to get around them and just understand what's the good stuff I can learn from them, what's the stuff that I don't want to do. And I think that's the similar things that, you know, when you're having conversations with young players, you just try to give them the sauce. You try to give them what you've experienced, good and bad, and hopefully they can learn from it.
Jesse Bates here on the Morning Shift. One, this league is different these days with some of the things you can and can't do. The tackling has been something that in some people suffers. As a guy that has, that's a lot of your job, I feel like, is open field tackling, right? You know, as a safety, how hard is it to stay really sharp with your tackling techniques?
Yeah, I think Rod does a good job of, you know, talking about protecting our team when we're talking about tackling and all that good stuff. But, you know, as a player, you talk about punch outs and just getting your body, getting that muscle memory, how to tackle, how to get in that position to make, you know, a good open field tackle. I think we ain't got no better back to go against than Bijan Robinson and those guys over there when you're talking about open field tackle. But, yeah, it is hard. It's hard to simulate the whole game speed. But as a safety and being a guy that's been in this league, you got to be able to learn how to practice. And that's one of the biggest things that I've preached to some of the younger guys as well.
We are joined by Jesse Bates live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch on the Morning Shift. Jesse, who are you rooming with out here?
Yeah, we got a nice safeties group, you know, Jordan Fuller, DeMarco Hellums, and then Xavier Watts as well. So we got a smart group. We ain't got too many head cases in there. It's usually pretty calm. You know, guys, you know, say what's up to each other, but you guys are usually in their books and, you know, getting to bed pretty early, honestly.
So when you guys wrap up, you're just going to bed watching film?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, like I said, when we got that jog through the following day, some of the guys go home. And but yeah, we have dialogue throughout the, you know, our room. And like I said, there's just a lot of different personalities in that safety room compared to a wide receiver room that's maybe loud, and, you know, corners room that's pretty loud probably as well. So yeah, safeties are pretty, you know, reserved, and we have conversations, but at the same time, guys are, you know, locked in.
Yeah, we'll finish up with that. Obviously finished up here with Jesse Bates, Falcon safety. We heard from Raheem Morris yesterday, the day before, about kind of the identity of this team, and talked about some of the leadership traits. I know Michael Penix has talked about it as well, leadership traits. I mean, what do you feel like the locker room is right now, kind of compared to previous couple of years? And I know Raheem brings that kind of energy, but, I mean, I want to hear, like, deeper into it. Like, who's on the aux cord? Who's the loud one? Who's the one playing the music? Who's the one kind of, you know, that's talkative in the morning? Who's the ones that are quiet in the morning?
Yeah, you know, that varies. You know, every day can be different. You know, it may be me on the aux cord one day, it may be James Pierce on the aux cord another day. Those rookies, man, they got a lot of personality, and you know, as long as they're getting off the edge and they're rushing that path, they can do whatever the heck they want to. But yeah, I mean, everybody's installing plays, you know, offense and defense. I think what separates, you know, teams is our style. How are we creating that style of play out here every day on the practice field? And everybody can talk about it right now. Everybody wants to make it to the Super Bowl, but it's all about what you're doing day in and day out. And I think that's what we have a great understanding of as a whole team.
Love that dude. Jesse Bates, All-Pro safety for Atlanta Falcons on the Morning Shift. It's Dukes and Bell live at Margaritaville, guys, Landshark Bar. And this hour, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Total Body Therapy of Georgia. Book your free consultation for ED. Mike, we know how good Jesse's going to be. Really, the question is, how good are the guys going to be around him, right?
Right. You know, we want to see, you know, Xavier Watts out there, and we talked about, you know, when are we going to see him? He's a concern with perhaps maybe an injury. Don't know the specifics on that, but I do love the rest of the guys we picked up. Billy Bowman, we talked about guys you notice him in practice, making plays. You know, just the effort could be something, just a 7-on-7, but you see him kind of just all over the field and really with the energy. And then, you know what we've got with Mike Hughes, maybe not a star corner, but a solid corner. Some of those PFF numbers maybe a little higher for some folks. And, of course, A.J. Terrell is one of the best corners in the league. So it's the nickel package, and how this with this ball hawking defense we think we put together through free agents and through the draft, is it going to be ball hawking? The ball hawking starts when those front seven get after the quarterback.
That's right.
It all works together.
No doubt. It is, man. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We got a lot more football conversation coming up. If you're just joining us, the news today, Micah Parsons says he wants out of Dallas. Remember, he is seeking a new deal. That negotiation is soured. As a matter of fact, they're further away now than they were just a couple of weeks ago. And Falcon fans are losing their minds, and rightfully so. I just said, Mike, imagine Parsons and Penix. We become the talk of the league.
Yes.
We become the talk of the league.
You'd have one of the most dominant players, one of the young rising stars in the league. Yeah, it's must-see TV. I'm with you. Now, I don't know what their intentions are, but if you want to go all in, you want to push all the chips in, you want to go get Arthur Blank that Super Bowl ring.
Don't get me excited. Don't get me excited.
I mean, now again, we've been talking all week about James Pierce Jr., and we are excited, but we don't know what he's going to be on Sundays. We love what we're seeing
right now.
Well,
let him learn from Micah.
But here's the dude. You wanted Jalen Walker because he's like Micah Parsons. You could have Micah
there
Parsons.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, look, I got to tell you something. And Mike and I always talk about this. Like, the political season, we are big into the politics of our country because we care. But there were a lot of people who wanted to be like the guy that only got elected. Why would I vote for that guy when I can vote for the guy who's the real McCoy? This is the real McCoy, all right? And so for me, like, all the he's going to be like the prototype.
Right.
Why do – he is the guy. He's the guy. So I don't know where that's going. We don't know what the Falcons want to do. But listen, our job is to dream. And sometimes when we dream on this show, and it's happened numerous times, guys, sometimes it comes to life. Sometimes when we talk about these things and you guys go, y'all are crazy as hell, it'll never happen. It's happened. I don't know if this is going to happen because I don't know how serious Micah Parsons is. To Mike's point, this is a negotiating tactic. But if he is serious, and by the way, when we come back in the 3 o'clock hour, what he submitted to the Cowboys sounds like it's pretty damn serious.
Yeah, man. And now, again, other teams out there are talking about it. But if you are Jerry Jones, as much as he's lost his fastball, I don't know if his son or his advisors, if you really are going to take this to the limit with Micah Parsons and you are up against the cap, one way you remedy that is by trying to get some younger talent in here.
Absolutely.
With some salary control.
Yes.
Because you are up against the wall with Dak's contract, with CeeDee Lamb's, with who am I forgetting, the defensive back. You get all these other contracts that you're dealing with. It'd be interesting to see if they think to reset. But to reset by losing one of the best players in the league? It's a bit much for me, man.
And they got to steal.
Diggs is deal.
Correct. Yeah. And they got to steal with Parsons. When they drafted him, we said it. Do that draft over again.
He's the number one or two guy going.
All right, we're coming back. More on this. This is a story that we're watching now. And also, we'll get into last night's Hall of Fame game. Speaking of holdouts or hold-ins, Terry McLaurin has also requested a trade. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.